You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I cover the Chicago Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, and I cover the NFL for Pro Football Focus. Locked On Bears is your podcast destination for daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. And today, we're bringing you the instant reaction to the Bears' Week 11 win over the Minnesota Vikings. It was another well-coached game by Matt Nagy, so we'll break down some of his decisions, particularly when it came to using Cody Parkey and choosing to go for two after the Bears' touchdowns. We'll also talk about a big defensive performance and an up-and-down performance from the offense as a whole. Let's start with Matt Nagy calling the shots at the helm here. Another pretty darn well-coached game from his standpoint. I liked a lot of what he set up the offense to do, getting the running game going and setting up some easier plays for Mitchell Trubisky. And I want to get more into that in a little bit. But I thought the most notable thing that came from that decision-making of Matt Nagy was the decisions to go for the two-point conversions after the Bears' touchdowns. It was first in that first half, after their first touchdowns, they had been up 3-0, decided to go for two after the touchdown to make it 11-0. That would have been there at the midway through the second quarter. And ultimately, when Parkey hit his first field goal, or his second field goal before halftime, it put the Bears up 14-0. And then you saw in that second half, actually down into the fourth quarter, after Eddie Jackson's pick six, they go for two again to make it 22-6, which ultimately, you know, the second one didn't end up making much of a difference in terms of the final score of the game, but you combine that with Cody Parkey's late field goal, and I guess there is sort of your 5-point differential. And it was a little bit, it raised some eyebrows when Nagy went for two, especially in that early portion of the game, but he kind of said afterwards that that was planned pretty well ahead of time, and he was able to kind of ride some of the momentum of the game. Here's what Matt Nagy said at his post-game press conference about the decision to go for two. I think it's interesting to kind of hear the way he puts it. It lends a little bit of the reasoning behind the decision.
What went into the decisions to go for two tonight?
Well, I'm typically an aggressive person. And so we just felt like we had some good stuff down there in that area. We've had some carry over the last couple weeks, and so play wise, why not use them? And it just shows to our guys, and it also, you know, it can stress to the other team if you do get them. It kind of makes the game change a little bit in regards to what they got to do now on their end when they score. So it's just a decision that we decided to make. We knew that was something we were going to do, and who knows? I don't know. We'll go back and forth on whether we want to keep doing that or not.
Again, that was Matt Nagy at his post-game press conference, and I was surprised with his answer there about the two-point conversions. I was expecting him to come out and say, yeah, you know, we wanted to be aggressive, and when you look at the game situation, you know, going up 11-0 allowed us to make it 14-0 with the field goal and make it a full two-possession game, and then in the second half, we wanted to go up 22-6 to, you know, put some extra pressure on the Vikings or whatever, and cite some sort of math or analytics behind it. But he kind of just said, well, we wanted to do it, and we were planning on doing it coming in kind of almost regardless of the situation. I mean, I'm sure in a more crucial game situation, they might have opted to take the extra point, but it's just interesting that there's not this this huge amount of like science data or analytics behind it, or even like super aggressiveness. It's just kind of, well, we had some plays that we wanted to do, we were feeling it a little bit, and we wanted to put some stress on the Vikings. I'm not questioning the decision at all. I mean, I agree with the decision, and generally the analytics do say it is smart to go for two more often than not, but I was just expecting a different answer, and I thought Nagy's answer was particularly interesting from, again, deviating from expectations. I know there was some speculation that maybe he was concerned about Cody Parkey and not trusting him to hit those extra points, but we saw Cody Parkey go 3-for-3 in field goals, including that critical 48-yarder at the end of the game to give the Bears some more breathing room and extend that lead in the fourth quarter. That one had to be the hardest decision for Matt Nagy. And he talked about that decision after the game as well. And I thought it lent some nice credence to his philosophy as a coach and what he's trying to build on the Bears coaching staff and in the locker room.
Yeah, that wasn't an easy one. It was one where, you know, there's just so many things that you can think of. You know, you want to stay positive. You want to think, okay, hey, we make the field goal, you make it nine points. And you know, it essentially gives you a great chance to win the game. You go for it. You stay aggressive because of where it was in the field, and you don't get it. Now they get the ball, or you punt. You take a delay game and you punt the ball, and our defense was playing so well, but it's a 7-point game. You know, they made the 2-point conversion there at the end to make it a 7-point game. So those are tough decisions. But I got to tell you. You know, a lot of times you go with your gut reaction, you talk to your coaches, and you just, you talk it through in that quick time right there. And then in the end, ultimately, we sit here and we talk about being aggressive. We sit here and we talk about being a family and trusting one another. And I'm just really, really happy for everybody on that field goal team to make a great snap, to make a great hold, to make a pressure kick. And you could see how proud our guys were of him and the rest of those guys. I think that's something special there.
Matt Nagy really speaks to the trust he's trying to build between coaches and players, and why you stick by a guy like Cody Parkey. You put some confidence in him, and he rewards you with 3 more field goals. And it's just I think it's a message that spreads over to the rest of the team that they can play confident. They're not worried about the team necessarily giving up on them or, you know, totally doubting them if they make a mistake. When players are allowed to make mistakes, they're allowed to grow and they're allowed to improve and play more loose and free. And I think you saw some of that with Cody Parkey against the Vikings. And you know, Parkey's late field goal just barely brought the Bears just short of hitting the over-under on mybookie.ag. It was set at 45.5. The Bears squeaked just in at 45 to keep the under. But of course, they covered the 2.5-point spread. So if you want to get in on the betting action, mybookie.ag is the place to do it. They've got all sorts of different ways to play, including live and in-game betting. So you don't even have to wait till kickoff to get involved. Even as you get closer to halftime, you can get your wagers in with MyBookie. Join now, and they will match your first deposit dollar for dollar when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. When you sign up, where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. So that's why we recommend MyBookie, where you play, you win, you get paid. Up next, we turn our attention to the Bears offense, including a little bit of variety in the running game and some more ups and downs from Mitchell Trubisky. Keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. As we look back over the Bears' win over the Vikings, we turn to the offense and a group that, you know, from a statistical standpoint, didn't necessarily wow you. But I thought, just from watching it live, that they did a little bit better than I expected against this Vikings defense. And certainly I think that starts with the running game and Jordan Howard. Still only 3.5 yards per carry with a long run of 8. But I thought what was most impressive, I mean, give credit to some of the interior offensive linemen, Cody Whitehair in particular, blocking well up front, but Matt Nagy seemed to switch some things up schematically. So early on, we saw some misdirection handoffs. You saw Taylor Gabriel get a handoff. You saw Anthony Miller get a handoff. Taquan Mizell gets a handoff. I think they had like 6 different guys carry the ball in the first half, which ended up being the total number of guys that carried the ball anyway. But you also saw Nagy get away from some of the types of run blocking that weren't working and stick with more of what was working for Jordan Howard. That, you know, the Bears under John Fox and when Howard had a lot of his success were a zone running team, inside zone and outside zone, the stretch run versus pounding up the middle. And Nagy has implemented a lot more of what they call gap scheme runs, which includes your power where the guard will pull out front or your counter where you'll have 2 blockers pull out in front. And the Bears have really struggled to block those plays this year. And a lot of those plays, when Howard is met right at the line of scrimmage or in the backfield, it's because they're trying to run one of those plays. But when they have linemen pull, they're not able to kind of fill those holes properly with the other blocks. And you see a breakdown in the offensive line. But it felt to me in this game,
And again, just watching it on the first run through and not going back through the all 22, it felt to me like they went back to more inside zone runs that Jordan Howard was accustomed to. And as a result, you saw him find more space to work with on that interior, particularly in the first half. I think once you got into the fourth quarter and the Vikings knew the Bears were going to be running the ball a bit more, you saw the running game slow down a bit. But for most of this game, he was up over 4 yards per carry. And in that first half in particular, it felt like this ground game had new life that we hadn't really seen much from the Bears in much of the season. If you look in the first half, Howard was at 4.6 yards per carry, Cohen at 5.7. You know, you weren't. They had 115 total rushing yards, and 37 were from Trubisky. So they weren't completely running over the Vikings, but it added that extra element to the offense that helped them take what was a 14-0 halftime lead. So I thought that was a very encouraging step forward for the running game against a defense that has stopped the run very well this season. I give the Bears a lot of credit for at least anecdotally making some adjustments up front and Jordan Howard having success as a result. And then in the passing game, I have to admit, I was surprised the Vikings didn't blitz Mitchell Trubisky more. I thought we'd see more of the double A-gap pressures. I thought they'd be able to get into his head a little bit more than they did. And largely, I thought Trubisky played even a little bit better than I thought. I mean, I was expecting a couple of those questionable throws, and they happened to turn into two interceptions in this game. And you know you're going to have some of those types of throws with Trubisky. And they haven't always been interceptions this season. He's gotten lucky on some of them and certainly thrown a couple picks along the way. But where I was impressed a little bit more was when they did blitz him. You know, he took that sack early on the blitz, and one of his interceptions did come when they sent extra rushers. But for the most part, you know, we saw a couple plays where he recognized it and was either able to get out of the pocket and fire downfield, or, you know, still be able to keep his eyes downfield and at least get rid of the ball and not make terrible bonehead decisions. He didn't scramble against the blitz from what I saw. There were a few times, I mean, certainly when he scrambled, it was because he was under pressure, and he really didn't have much success throwing the ball when that pressure was getting to him. But his blitz recognition pre-snap, I think, was improved. Not fixed, you know, still a lot of work to be done in that area, but improved. And really, it was those two interceptions and that one dropped interception that probably should have been a pick six that were the main blunders on his performance. But otherwise, pretty darn efficient and more or less accurate with just a few incompletions here and there. But he was asked about those interceptions afterward, and I wanted to play for you his take on what he saw on those plays.
On the first interception, would you like what you saw when you looking down the middle?
Yeah, for sure. That was a tough one. I really liked where I put the ball in the right spot. I looked off one of the safeties, and then the other safety made a good play. So credit to them, and just kind of continue to stay aggressive and trying to see the whole big picture. But that guy made a really good play, and just got to move on and try to learn from it.
Did you get a little miscommunication with Allen on that other one?
Yeah, I mean, that was just good defense on that part. He just got hemmed up a little bit, little bumping and running on the outside, and I was just trying to anticipate him breaking, and it didn't quite happen for us. So a little miscommunication, little bad anticipation on my part, and something I'm just going to fix. But we're going to continue to stay aggressive. And I mean, we were pretty good on third down, so there's one of the instances where I got to take care of the ball, and then just we punted away and played defense and put them in a better spot. But I really liked what we did overall, and I just got to be smarter with the football to put our team in a better position.
Good for Mitchell Trubisky there, standing by his decision and placement on that first throw. And I don't really necessarily blame him for that second interception. Kind of like he said, it looked like Allen Robinson got jammed up, maybe didn't try as hard as he could have to beat the defender and go up for that ball. So I'm not really going to pin that one too much on Mitchell Trubisky. But the first one, definitely going to need the All-22 to go see, because Mitch did stand by and defend his decision and even his ball placement on that throw. And he said he tried to look off one of the safeties, but the other one was there. And yes, you do have to account for that other safety. So I'm not going to give Mitch a pass for that one by any means. But I do think there's some merit behind the decision. And just from having seen the replay and obviously watching it live and the angles that they gave us on TV, you could see the thought process behind the decision there. And Matt Nagy said it was a throw they had practiced all week. The Vikings were in a cover two defense. Taylor Gabriel was trying to split the deep safeties and go over top the middle linebacker. And he looked off one of the safeties, but not the other, and kind of, he still kind of left it up there to dry. You know, he needed to fire that ball in more quickly if he's going to try and beat the coverage the way he did. But in when you're trying to read that coverage with the route that you have, in an ideal world, the safeties are distracted by receivers on the outside, which, you know, challenges them with that space in the middle for Taylor Gabriel to go. That wasn't necessarily the case on that play, but that middle of the field can be a vulnerability against that coverage. That's where Mitchell Trubisky went, and you can at least see some of the thought process behind the play, and I'm expecting the All-22 to illuminate us even a little bit more on that. Of course, the All-22 will be tomorrow's podcast, the Tape Tuesday edition of Locked On Bears. Make sure you're subscribed to keep up with all of our daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. And for even more, make sure you're keeping up with what the Locked On Podcast Network is doing on social media. The Locked On NFL Twitter handle is taking all of the NFL analysis from all the Locked On NFL hosts and retweeting it onto one timeline. So my Bears tweets go on there, but you also get every other NFL host's tweets. So in one place, you can follow one account and get the local experts on every team. If you're a fan of the NFL, in addition to the Chicago Bears, make sure you go on Twitter and follow the Locked On NFL Network for all of your NFL news and analysis on every team. And still to come, we save the best for last here on Locked On Bears. This Chicago defense had another lights out performance. I know it got a little bit messy at the end, but this is looking more and more like a contending level, dare I say, a championship caliber NFL defense. That's next on Locked On Bears. So we buried the lead a little bit here on the biggest factor of this Bears win over the Vikings, in my opinion, and I'm sure in all of your opinions, was this Bears defense. And, you know, I've spent some time thinking after the game and writing about it for Bears Wire. It's like, who was more important to this Bears win, Akeem Hicks or Khalil Mack? They both had sacks. They both pressured the quarterback. They both were getting disruptions in the running game. You saw Khalil Mack, he adds the forced fumble and the fumble recovery, but Akeem Hicks had, I think, four tackles for loss in the running game in addition to his sack. So both guys dominating, and that's what we talked about on the podcast previewing this game, talking about how that right guard spot was going to be sore, even if Mike Remmers came back. The right tackle, Brian O'Neill, was a rookie. That was going to be a spot for Mack to do some damage, but even he did a lot against the left tackle, Riley Reiff, as well. So just two guys taking over in the front seven, the two guys you come to expect every single game, and then you throw Eddie Jackson in there at the end. You know, it was funny with Jackson. As you were kind of going through the game, did you think about how, you know, we didn't really hear his name much through the first, what, 3.5 quarters? Amos had that early interception, you know, so you kind of heard him, but Jackson wasn't really targeted, wasn't really around the ball much from what you could tell, and just, you didn't really hear his name for most of the game. And that usually means, you know, when you're a deep safety like Eddie Jackson, that means you're doing a darn good job. It means the quarterback's not throwing your way. You're not having to tackle anybody because you're not allowing any catches, and you're not even getting targeted. I don't think Pro Football Focus is going to end up crediting him with any targets in coverage, just the interception that came down and cut off and ran with all the way back for a touchdown. I mean, just another really strong performance in a breakout season from Eddie Jackson as well. Maybe you would have liked to see him be a little bit more involved in run defense, but I mean, from a coverage standpoint, he continues to make plays. This defense continues to make plays. I mean, the only place you can look and maybe point to something that could have been better, I guess Kyle Fuller and Prince Amukamara, they both kind of quietly allowed some yards and some catches, you know, pretty readily to Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. And, you know, it didn't matter in the end result. You know, Diggs went for 126 yards on 13 catches, but was only good for 20 points for the Vikings offense. And a lot of those yards and catches came at the end of the fourth quarter. And I guess that's still where the one question mark is on this defense. They cannot and have not necessarily finished games that well. You know, the pick six was probably about as close to finishing a game as you're going to get from this Bears defense, but there were still over 8 minutes left when the Vikings got the ball back after the two-point conversion. And, you know, Kirk Cousins drives down, touchdown, You know, 2-point conversion succeeds. And then Kirk Cousins drives down again, touchdown. 2-point conversion fails, but that's still 14 points in the second half of the fourth quarter. That's, you know, some of that's on Vic Fangio, maybe not being as aggressive. Some of it's on the players, maybe lightening up a little bit. Some of it's just a game situation thing where, you know, the Vikings really kick it into overdrive and are trying to pass and trying to take every yard you can get. And, you know, that's just going to be as the flow of the game goes, they get a little bit more aggressive and maybe the defense isn't as ready for it. I mean, a lot of different things can kind of go into that. And I think there's a little bit of blame to go around, but still, this defense did everything they possibly could to put this team in position to win. They were, I think, the reason this Bears team won. I mean, it was the turnovers they forced. It was limiting Kirk Cousins. And I think Kirk Cousins is particularly why I was wrong in my predictions for this game. We had talked about how Kirk Cousins was one of the best quarterbacks under pressure this season. And I said on Thursday's podcast, if you're gonna slow down Kirk Cousins, the pressure you get on him has to be effective. You have to actually hit the quarterback. You actually have to bring him down a few times. The Bears only sacked him twice, got a couple of quarterback hits in there as well, but the pressure seemed to get him really off of his spot. And, you know, quarterback play under pressure tends to fluctuate more than most stats, and so maybe he was due for some sort of regression. But we saw him clearly not play nearly as well as he has for most of the season, and all the credit goes to the Bears defense. It's not just Kirk Cousins playing bad. It's Kirk Cousins is playing bad because this front seven is getting pressure, because they're taking away the running game, because they're limiting what these receivers can do downfield. And that, to me, is ultimately why the Bears won this game. It wasn't, you know, Trubisky did enough to win, but he didn't win the game for them. This defense won the game for them. They kept the Vikings from really, truly climbing back and having a legitimate shot to win down the stretch. That's all you can ask for from this defense that looks like a championship contender level defense. No matter the offense they're going up against, they've done a good job of sticking through, especially with Khalil Mack healthy. I don't know if there's an offensive line that can stop this Bears pass rush. I don't know if there's an offense that can truly dissect what these guys want to do. There's some blueprint there with a no-huddle type offense to keep them tired, but if the Bears offense can then respond and, you know, extend drives and keep the defense off the field and give them rest, you have the mixture here for a playoff contending first place in the NFC North Chicago Bears roster. We're going to be breaking them down as far as they go here on Locked On Bears. Again, make sure you've hit the subscribe button on whatever app it is you use to listen to podcasts. It's the best way to keep up with all of our daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. You can also catch up with us on the Locked On Bears Facebook group. Just search Locked On Bears group on Facebook. You can request to be joined. I'll add you in. Make sure you're not trying to spam us with all sorts of Packers news and information. No rogue Packer fans getting in through the ranks, and you can join in our conversations. We always get things going, especially on game day. There's always plenty of Bears fans bringing the heat, bearing down, representing the blue and orange at Soldier Field. You name it, we are there on the Locked On Bears Facebook group. I hope everyone is taking the time to enjoy this 7-3 Bears team. We haven't seen a Bears team with this record since 2012. I believe, and even that team didn't quite have this much hype, this much excitement, this much promise and potential behind it. So it really is a great time to bear down.